Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Art Spy, The Extraordinary Untold Tale of WWAT Resistance Hero Rose Valland by Michelle Young, recounts the remarkable life of a French art historian who quietly became one of the most effective cultural resistance figures of World War II. Set against the Nazi occupation of Paris, the book centers on Valland's work at the Jeu de Paume Museum, a hub where looted artworks were processed before being shipped to Germany. Young frames Valland not as a conventional battlefield operative, but as a meticulous observer who used scholarship, nerves, and stealth to fight back. Through the lens of art theft, the narrative reveals the machinery of Nazi plunder and the high stakes for Europe's cultural memory. The story also explores how gender, class, and institutional power shaped Valland's ability to move unseen while gathering intelligence. Blending biography with wartime history, the book highlights how a single determined individual can protect heritage and influence post-war justice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a museum at the center of Nazi looting. A key topic is how the Nazi occupation transformed cultural institutions into tools of theft and propaganda, with the Jeu de Paume functioning as a sorting and distribution point for confiscated art. The book situates Rose Valland inside this machine, showing how looting was not random but administered with paperwork, inventories, transport orders, and political priorities. Artworks taken from Jewish collectors and targeted families were photographed, cataloged, and routed to powerful figures, including leaders who planned private collections and museums. By focusing on the museum setting, the narrative clarifies the scale of the operation and why art was treated as both a trophy and a strategic asset. This topic also highlights the moral complexity faced by French staff who had to decide between compliance, quiet sabotage, or survival. The museum becomes a microcosm of occupied France, outwardly controlled by the enemy, yet full of hidden tensions, small acts of defiance, and careful observation. Understanding this environment is essential to appreciating Valland's later impact because it explains the unusual access she had and the constant danger of being exposed. Secondly, Rose Valland's covert intelligence work, another central topic, is Valland's transformation from underrecognized curator to clandestine intelligence gatherer. Rather than operating with weapons, she relied on routine, discretion, and the ability to appear harmless to those in power. The book emphasizes how information became her primary tool, names, shipment dates, crate numbers, destinations, and the chain of command that moved masterpieces across borders. Her work required close listening, language skills, memory, and the discipline to record details without leaving traces that could endanger her or colleagues. This form of resistance demanded a different kind of courage, one grounded in patience and the acceptance of long-term risk. The topic also explores the psychological strain of maintaining a calm exterior while witnessing systematic theft and persecution. Valland's position forced her to navigate authority figures, bureaucratic procedures, and the ever-present threat of arrest. By highlighting tradecraft rooted in observation and documentation, the narrative expands the popular image of wartime heroism. It shows that resistance can be built on expertise and perseverance, and that quiet acts of intelligence can influence outcomes far beyond the walls of a museum. Thirdly, identity, gender, and the power of invisibility, the book also examines how Valland's social position shaped her wartime effectiveness. As a woman working in the arts, she could be underestimated, sidelined, or dismissed, and that marginalization sometimes became an advantage. The topic explores how institutions and occupiers often assumed women in cultural roles were administrative rather than strategic, creating room for her to observe more than she was meant to. At the same time, being overlooked came with costs, limited authority, fewer protections, and the likelihood that her contributions would be minimized after the fact. The narrative traces the tension between invisibility as camouflage and invisibility as erasure. It also addresses how credibility in post-war settings could depend on status, networks, and who was allowed to claim expertise. By presenting Valland's work through this lens, the book invites reflection on how history remembers certain forms of bravery while neglecting others. This topic encourages readers to see resistance not only as a series of daring actions, but also as a struggle against cultural assumptions. Valland's story becomes a case study in how persistence, competence, and strategic silence can turn an underestimated role into a position of real power. Fourthly, recovering stolen art and building post-war justice. A major theme is what happens after liberation, when documentation and accountability become as important as wartime secrecy. The book highlights how Valland's records could support restitution efforts by identifying where works were sent and who controlled them. This topic shows the immense logistical challenge of tracking objects across borders, depots, castles, and mines, especially in the chaotic aftermath of war. It also underscores that recovery is not merely about locating a painting, It is about restoring rightful ownership, confronting the reality of persecution, and rebuilding trust in cultural institutions. The narrative connects individual acts of documentation to larger efforts by Allied and European authorities to return property and prosecute wrongdoing. It also raises hard questions that persist today: how to prove provenance when records are incomplete, how to handle contested claims, and how museums should address histories of acquisition under coercion. By focusing on the restitution process, the book demonstrates that cultural crimes have long timelines. Valen's work extended beyond survival into the slow labor of repair, making her story relevant to ongoing debates about ownership, ethics, and the responsibilities of collectors and institutions. Lastly, why cultural heritage matters in times of war. Beyond biography, the book argues for the importance of cultural heritage as a target, a symbol, and a form of memory that communities fight to preserve. This topic explains why regimes invest effort in looting and controlling art to legitimize power, rewrite identity, and deprive victims of history and status. Through Valen's experience, the narrative illustrates how protecting art can also protect people's stories, because objects carry family lineage, national narratives, and evidence of what existed before violence. The topic broadens the stakes from famous masterpieces to the wider ecosystem of archives, museums, and private collections that together shape historical understanding. It also invites readers to consider the ethical responsibilities of professionals in the arts, from curators to historians, when institutions are pressured by politics or conflict. The book's wartime setting makes the point concrete. Cultural defense can be a form of resistance with strategic effects, influencing morale, diplomacy, and post-war reconciliation. By linking art to human rights and historical truth, this topic helps readers see Valen's actions not as niche preservationism, but as a defense of civilization against organized theft and ideological control. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy narrative history, WBOR-U resistance stories, and books that connect politics, ethics, and the arts. It will also appeal to museum professionals, students of art history, and anyone curious about how cultural heritage becomes a battlefield when nations collapse and borders shift. The benefit is both practical and personal. The story illustrates how careful work, documentation, and moral clarity can matter as much as dramatic heroics. Valen's example encourages readers to value expertise, persistence, and integrity, especially when recognition is uncertain. It also offers a clearer understanding of how provenance, restitution, and cultural justice became urgent after the war and remain relevant today. Compared with similar WBOR-T titles that focus mainly on soldiers, spies, or major leaders, this book stands out by centering a largely overlooked figure and by treating art looting as a major wartime system rather than a footnote. The blend of biography and cultural history creates a distinctive angle on occupation-era Paris and the long afterlife of wartime crimes. If you want a compelling true story with modern relevance to museum ethics and restitution debates, it is worth buying and reading. If you would like to support Michelle Young, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.